Well, I have something to say to you. Merry Christmas, saints. Some of you are like, what's that? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. While you're getting to Ephesians chapter 1, I have a little story. I've told this story before, but it's a great illustration for this particular topic today. A priest and a taxi driver both died and went to heaven at the same exact time. When they got to the pearly gates, they met St. Peter, as is usual, and he motioned to the priest, and they both hopped into a nice little Jeep, and they went heading out. There was about 50 acres that they suddenly came on, a plot of 50 acres, and it was rolling hills, and there was a beautiful cottage there. And Pete turns to the priest and says, "This will be yours for eternity. A perfect little cottage right next to a lovely pond, a lush green garden, and a library full of books." And the priest was so thankful. He says, "I will love this. This will be so wonderful for me." So he drops the priest off and heads back. Then he picks up the taxi driver. And they get picked up in a limousine, not a Jeep. And they go out to an area of about 500 acres, not 50. And it's got mountains and lakes and a river flowing through it that's just crystal clear. And there's this huge 200-room castle. Fabulous, fabulous building. And he says, "This will be yours for eternity. You can live in this castle with servants that will wait on you hand and foot. And there's a wishing well over there. If you need anything, just go to the wishing well. And anything you want will just suddenly appear. Everything you want will be provided." And the taxi driver looked at St. Peter and said, "Well, I mean, don't think that I'm not grateful and all, but why am I getting so much more than the priest?" Peter laughed and he said, "Because you were one of the greatest saints in history." And the taxi driver looks like, "What?" He said, "You brought more souls into heaven than that priest. Because when the priest preached, people fell asleep. But when people rode in your taxi, many, many, many cried out for mercy and help from God." By the way, do any of you have a taxi driver or just a driver in your family like that? Is there a family member who drives like that? You just wonder if they're going to make it to wherever they're going. Yeah. Like, "Oh God, please help us." Okay, Ephesians 1, are you there? Good. Let's look at verse 15. "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." Everybody say, "All the saints."
All the saints.
"Do not cease to give thanks." Everybody say, "Give thanks." "For you, making mention of you in my prayers." This give thanks thing can never run out. We can't do too much of it. Thanksgiving isn't over. It should be an ever-increasing thing for us. So here's my question. Do you love the saints? I don't know. You ask some questions sometimes. I'm not sure I'm safe to answer. I get it. A few of us grew up in churches that had traditions where they recognized saints. And probably more of us in this room didn't. They didn't say much about saints in the Methodist church that I grew up in. They didn't make a big deal about it. And again, some of you grew up in church traditions where the saints are mentioned. There are special days for the saints. Did you know that the day after Halloween is All Saints Day? And that Halloween actually used to mean All Hallowed Evening, because they were preparing for All Saints Day when they remembered special saints. And I didn't really understand that concept, and probably still don't quite understand the concept in some traditions. I don't know about being canonized. Canonized sounds like where you get inside this tube and somebody shoots you. I've seen people that are, you know, in fairs and circuses do that. But canonized doesn't sound like something very pleasant to me. But there are some things that are required in some traditions for someone to be called a saint, to reach sainthood. And in fact, according to Saints for Dummies, yes, there is a book, Saints for Dummies. There's a book for everything for dummies, right? Whatever you need. While you don't need a perfect track record to be a saint, because of course nobody had a perfect track record except Jesus, while you don't need a perfect track record, there are some things that are needed in order for you to be a saint. Maybe you weren't aware of that. So to be officially a saint, you need, and I copied and pasted this, you need two verifiable post-mortem miracles. Note, canonization, sainthood, requires two miracles, whereas beatification, blessed, only requires one. I didn't even know there was a beatification. You know, I did know about being canonized, but I didn't even know about beatification. And then it also went on to say, evidence of having led an exemplary life of goodness and virtue worthy of imitation, having died a heroic death, martyrdom, or having undergone a major conversion of heart where a previous immoral life is abandoned and replaced by one of outstanding holiness. So some of you have, you know, you've came out of immoral lives. Some of you had some pretty wild stuff going on. Some of you still do, but you're trying. It's okay. And how many noticed that word post-mortem? Did you notice that? Two post-mortem miracles. Wow. That's pretty cool, but I mean, I don't know. I was like, really? You have to be dead to be a saint, is basically what it's saying. Because you don't get canonized until you're dead. And then they recognize that something about, I don't know, what you did resulted in a miracle after you were already dead. And then you get to become a saint. That's according to the Saints for Dummies. So even if you live a life of miracles, and I've seen some amazing miracles, and some of you have seen some amazing miracles as you prayed for people. Even if you live a life of miracles, you're not considered a saint until you're dead, according to some traditions. So here in our text from St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, was Paul giving thanks and encouraging us to have love for dead people? Well, let's consider some other verses so we can clarify. Acts 9:32 says, now it came to pass as Peter went through all the parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydia. So he must have been spending the day in the graveyard at Lydia. Because if saints are dead, then that's where you would spend your day when you visited. Or Romans 1:7 says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was writing letters to dead people. That doesn't seem quite right. And by the way, he wrote letters to the dead people in Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae. You can find it in all those letters that he's writing to dead people, if that thing of being dead is important to become a saint. And then Paul encouraged the Romans to distribute to the needs of the saints, Romans chapter 12, verse 13. I don't know what dead people need, but whatever it is, we're supposed to take care of that. And he told them that he would be going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints that were there. Romans 15:25. So Paul was a little freaky, wasn't he? Running around with all these dead people. Or maybe not. So here's the thing. In the reality of what we read in the New Testament, there are a whole bunch of saints bunches and bunches of saints. And who are the saints? Well, they're very much alive. And we're going to talk a bit about who the saints really are. I do have a question, though. Who's the most referred to saint this time of year? St. Nicholas. I thought it'd be fun to just remind you a couple things about St. Nick. How many of you think you know anything about St. Nick? What do we know? What's the major thing that we know this time of year about St. Nick? What? Yeah, he's going to be on a sleigh, and he's going to be riding around on the 24th, going into the 25th, you know, and delivering and going down chimneys. What does he like to eat? Cookies. Huh? And what? And milk. Yeah, cookies and milk. Except for I've heard that if he's in a Hispanic country, sometimes they have tacos. So just saying. Could be anything. Yeah, I mean, we know that he dresses a certain way. We know that he drives a sleigh. We know that he does all these things. This is what we know about St. Nick. But he was actually a saint. And by the way, he is canonized. And he was born March 15th, 270 A.D., the year 270. And he was born in Patara, Lucia, Turkey. And he died December 6th in 343 A.D. in Myra, Turkey. So this guy, I mean, he's known well enough. They know his birthday and they know the day that he died. That's a long time ago to have that information fairly straight. That was kind of a surprise to me. And so he was a Greek guy. And he was also called Nikolaos of Myra. And this 4th century saint was also the Greek bishop of Myra in Lucia. Lycia. I said that wrong. Lycia. So, because of his many miracles, did you know that there was actually a man who did many miracles and he probably wasn't dressed up in a red suit? Now, I've talked about some of this before, but his intercessions were known to cause miracles, and he was also known as Nikolaos the Wonder Worker. His most famous story probably is the one that I'm about to tell now. And again, I just kind of copied and pasted this for your information, but you've heard me share this maybe before if you've been in this church for very long. But generations of people have heard this story, and yet it's not very popular today. I'm not sure we tell our kids this story. But you'll recognize some interesting aspects of this. Once upon a time, there was a man living in Myra who was very poor. This man had no wife, but he had 3 grown daughters who lived with him. In those days, when a young woman got married, she had to bring money or property with her into the marriage. This was called a dowry. We've heard of that, right? If a woman didn't have a dowry, she would never get married. This man was so poor that he had no money for his daughter's dowries, and he didn't have enough money to support them either. He had, he believed, only one choice, and that was to sell his daughters into slavery. This was, again, 270, 300 AD-ish kind of a thing. And by the way, that slavery would not have been just like they're going to work in your kitchen. It would have been prostitution. Nicholas heard about this terrible situation, and late one night, he crept into the man's home and threw something, or to the man's home and threw something through the window. It was a bag of gold. It was enough to pay the dowry for his oldest daughter. The man was overjoyed, and his daughter was too. She married, and her father was, but her father was still left with the problem. Actually, 2 problems to be correct. He had 2 daughters, and he was going to have to prepare to send them away, even though he was able to at least get one married. Nicholas returned again one night and again threw a bag of gold through the window, and the father rejoiced. And now his curiosity started being awakened. He wondered who was helping him and why. Of course, Nicholas didn't want to be known, but the father was determined, and he had one daughter left and no money for a dowry. He certainly hoped that he would be helped again, especially because he wanted to find out who was doing it. So he locked the windows and watched out the door. Nicholas still wanted to help, but he still didn't want to be seen. So in the back of the house, far from the father's sight, he dropped the bag of gold for the third daughter right down the chimney. Sound familiar? Can you see where some of the things that have developed would be developed out of that story? I heard different versions of it where when it went down the chimney, it bounced and landed in a stocking that was hanging by the chimney because the daughters had hung a stocking there to dry. You can see how this gets, yeah. It is said that God worked through Nicholas's prayers to raise many children from the dead. And because of that, he's recognized as a patron saint, patron saint of children. Some had been killed in a fire, and a couple that had drowned, and just different things like that. In one story that was really strange and a little spooky, a butcher had decided to take three kids and kill them and pickled them. And somehow St. Nicholas found out and called the butcher to repentance, I think, according to some of the stories, and raised the three from the dead. Because he'd already cut them up and pickled them, but somehow he raised them from the dead. Can you imagine? That's the story. You say, well, I don't know what I believe about that. I don't know that he was, again, he was known for this special ministry of raising people from the dead. And there are other stories of him stopping storms and doing all sorts of things. One of the interesting stories that was there was that there was a great famine in the land that he was in Myra, and they experienced that in 311 to 312. And during that time, a ship had come in and ported, you know, into the port and anchored, and they found out there was grain on the ship. And so the bishop went, and he said to them, "We desperately need that grain." And they said, "We desperately need to live. If we give you the grain, and then we go on to our destination in Rome, and there's not grain on there, we're in trouble." And he said to them, "Don't be afraid. Just give us," and he had an amount of grain that would help them for 2 years. I'm not even sure I imagine how that works, how big the town was. You know, how do you get enough grain for 2 years? I guess there was seed grain on it too, so they were able to grow some. So he finally talked them into it, and they left and headed off. And when they got to Rome, every ounce, when they remeasured what they had started with and what they needed to give, every ounce was there. Nicholas was known as a generous giver, and from everything that I've been able to see about him, he was actually fairly wealthy. He had wealthy parents, never married, and just took advantage of the wealth that he had to make sure other people were blessed, did what he could with what he had. So he was known, sooner or later, whether he wanted to be or not, as that guy that gives. And so the people of his town started kind of saying his name. They would cry out. The children would cry out when he walked by. And they would call him Saint Nicholas. Saint Nicholas. Santa Claus. Get it? So our kids see Santa Claus and they have no idea that they're talking about Saint Nicholas. Maybe we ought to make sure they know. It's a pretty impressive person. And what I like about St. Nicholas was he was a revivalist. That's what we'd like to think of ourselves as, wouldn't we? We'd like to pray for people. We'd like to see God move. We'd like to see signs and wonders in their lives, and some of us have. God's done some amazing things. So that's a good thing. So listen to Romans 1:7 again, because this is the kind of the key verse. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Were only people in Rome called to be saints? No. And I told you, he wrote that same kind of a thing to several other. Every city he went into, he established saints. People who were called to sainthood. Wow. Are you called to be a saint? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Do any of you know a Santa Claus? John's got a dad that does Santa Claus every year. But some of you have been Santa Claus, haven't you? You've been Santa Claus for your kids. They put out the cookies and milk and you ate it. Santa Claus. What's the most famous saying of Santa Claus? Ho, 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 and? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, saints. That's how I started this out this morning. Merry Christmas, saints. I'm talking to you. Yeah. Say Merry Christmas to Saint somebody next to you. Would you do that? Just say Merry Christmas, Saint. Merry Christmas, Saint Karen. Merry Christmas, Saint Beth. Merry Christmas, Saint Mark. You've even got churches named after you around. I've seen that. I don't think I've ever seen a St. Beth church. But Beth, connected to Bethel, pretty close. Pretty close. St. Joan. There is a St. Joan. Joan of Arc. Yeah. There are some recognized saints that some of us have. St. Timothy. What can I tell you? Some of you have heard me talk about the power of the words Merry Christmas. What, did my wife make a comment over there? I heard a giggle. Anyway, she's like, he's not a saint. He's an ain't. He's an ain't, but he is. He's an ain't. But most of you have heard me talk about the power of the words Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas is a declaration. Merry Christmas is an invocation. Merry Christmas is a spoken blessing. And maybe if we got that a little bit more in us, we would have an anointing on that when we say it that would be different. Some of you have heard me talk about this. Merry Christmas. Just spread it all over you. What does it mean? Well, it just means, you know, have a good time this time of year. No, it means more than that. It's merry, which is joyful. And it's the joyful anointing of the anointed one, Christ. Merry Christmas. Christ is anointing. Mary is joyful, filled with life, kind of a thing. And mas. Mas comes from Latin, and it has to do with mission. Your mission. So, we're all called to be saints, I believe. And I believe anything less than being a saint is living below your privilege and your calling. Why would you want to be any less than a saint when God called you to be a saint? By the way, Nicholas started being a saint when he was a young man. He started having miracles when he was a teenager. You can start just being a saint. Because you're called to be a saint. So, again, Merry Christmas, St. Kurt. Merry Christmas, St. Kelsey. Have you ever been called St. Kelsey before? Never. Oh, just did a minute ago. Yeah, so that. And her husband's shaking his head like, yeah, no, is he St. Kyle? She's look at her. She's having to think it. I get it.
Getting people in trouble now.
But here's the thing. What if we made it our mission, especially this time of year when it's really acceptable? What if we made it our mission to go out and speak Merry Christmas over people? I've been trying to say it really hard all week because I do that every year. I get to December and I start doing we're past Thanksgiving now. It's time to do Merry Christmas. The anointing of the anointed one on you. My mission is to get the anointing all over you. They may think you're just being festive. You might be being prophetic. And you might be speaking over their life. By the way, you speak that, or you maybe say something encouraging to them and then say Merry Christmas. You find a way to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. What is that? Prophecy. You are called to speak that way. And by the way, if you're working on speaking that way, then it's harder to speak some of the other things that we say this time of year when the thing didn't work out. Oh, not, they asked me to work overtime. I can't believe they're doing it. Don't they know it's Christmas? You know, it's a whole lot easier if we're trying to speak words of life over people. And then this time of year especially, end it with Merry Christmas. And people are like, wow. It shifts atmospheres. It changes the feeling in people's hearts. Sometimes it changes rooms. Merry Christmas is a commission. And it's what the saints are commissioned to do, is to carry the joyful anointing of the Lord as our mission. If you're attending this church, you've probably noticed. And if you're going to attend this church, you're probably going to notice that you will be constantly challenged to recognize who God has called you to be. Be the one, right? It's in our logo. It's in our DNA. You're a saint. You're not a sinner. I know sometimes you mess up, but you're called to be a saint. So much more than what we ever could be on our own. You're called to the supernatural. You're called to something beyond this life and to bring, as we have it on our wall, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. A few years ago, I was remembering this the other day. I saw it written down, so I was reminded of it because I like to give these testimonies. I've done I don't know how many since then, but this one was on a Friday night at Bob Evans, and I do remember it. We were having dinner at Bob Evans, and as I do a lot of times when my waitress is waiting on me, I ask God, "You got anything you want me to say to the waitress?" And so I said, "What do you got, God?" And I got a picture of all the strange things of Princess Diana popped into my head. I thought, that's really not, because she didn't look like Princess Diana. And I'm like, Princess Diana, So first I just told her, I said, sometimes I ask God about people and he tells me stuff. That'll get them looking at you pretty strange, but they don't want to be mean to you because they're still waiting for a tip. So do it before the tip. And just say, I ask God about people sometimes, and he just tells me things. And if you ask, I believe God will start to clue you in. And so I said, did anybody ever call you princess? And she said, yeah, actually. And I don't remember who it was. I think like her dad. But she said, but what's really interesting is I call my daughter that all the time now. She's my princess, and I call her that all the time. And so then I told her, because then God clued me into why he showed me the princess. I said, oh, because God wants you to know that he loves you just like you love and cherish your daughter. He's thinking about you, and you're never far from his thinking. And you can imagine that started working in her, like it rocked her a little bit. I think that was better than the tip, although we tip well. Don't prophesy and then forget your tip. Make you look like a jerk. Remember, I just said it a little bit ago, prophecies, edification, exhortation, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3. A way to build up, stir up, and cheer up. We can go out and we can be building up people, stirring up people, and cheering up people everywhere we go. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that we should do. That we should do. It's our commission because we're saints. That's our job. That's what we do. We share the good news. Listen, don't share the gospel if you think the gospel is like, yeah, you're all going to go to hell if you don't get Jesus. That's not the good news. The good news is God sent his one and only son. And so you can say Merry Christmas to start, or maybe you just find a way to tell your waitress or someone waiting on you or someone walking with you or someone doing something, you just find a way to say something encouraging to them, and they're like, where'd that come from? And if that happens to you often, then you probably haven't been saying enough. So then you learn to get in the habit of telling people wonderful things about them to encourage them. And then as you encourage them, it's amazing, right? And this time of year, then you can seal it with Merry Christmas. And literally speak over them the anointing of the anointed one. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to be able to tell them their phone number or their social security number or have some word of knowledge. There's been several times when I didn't think I had a word of knowledge, and the way I said it, I found out it was a word of knowledge, and I didn't even know I had it. And just suddenly I'm saying something, and they're going, how did you know? How did I know what?
I didn't know.
Oh. And if he does give you some super word, yeah, great, give it to them. Rock them even more. But what they need to know more than anything is that Papa God loves them. Get it? That Papa God loves them. That Merry Christmas isn't just this thing we do where we run around and have a lot of parties, but that Papa God loves them. And there are so many people who need the love of God right now. They really do. So, be the one who shares God's heart with people around you. Amen? Amen. All right. Beth, Merry Christmas. I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that he has taken care of things. He's got you. Be a lot of days like you and I had a little conversation, but just in the last day or so, but God's got it all figured out. And there's a plan. There's a plan. And he's making you strong. And you have. I can look back on when I first met Beth, and I can see where she is now. God's making you strong, and that strength is going to be needed. So it's okay. You need, you know, kind of the sore spiritual muscles, but that's because he's going to make you strong for something that I don't know what it is yet, but it's something important. And I just have this sense maybe for family, something in the family that they're going to need, because it's another generation kind of a thing. Hey, you know what? Maybe some saints ought to help me prophesy. I wonder if I should do that. Gabe, I just feel like God's preparing you in ways that you would think, how can that even be God? But he has. And I see something with you not only bringing life to those two wonderful boys that you guys have now, but you bringing life to them that they could not have had any other way. And there are going to be times when this is going to feel like it's almost impossible to do. But it's not. Like you'll be looking at the budget and thinking, now what? And there's character in that, that there's more to learn for those boys in the character you demonstrate during that time than there is in anything else. That's worth way more than you could give them if you had $1 billion. So God says you're a man of character. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mary. By the way, I feel like someone's supposed to come up here and share something. If you got something, get up here. Mary. I just feel like God is just going to bless you in this holiday season. Look for God's blessing. Look for it. There are some things that he wants to make you say ho, ho, ho about. But then he wants you to bring that ho, ho, ho into the goodness of God for somebody. The goodness of God. Maybe it's not this holiday season, but I think it is. And I think he wants you to bring someone. You might not even know you did it when you did it. You might have already done it. But keep an eye out for it, because it's fun when God starts to say something to us and then the light comes on and we went, oh, that was that? And you took it from just a holiday to a holy day season. And God just wants to bless you in that. St. Mary. Yeah, come on. Come on, Tom. What you got?
Last night, the Syrian government was overthrown, and there's just an infinite amount of miracles that can happen right now. There's a sculptor there that I once upon a time got to share with, and she accepted the Lord. But God says that he has his remnant in all parts of the earth. Could we just pray for those guys?
Sure.
Lord, we know that your kids are in Syria. And we know that a lot of your word happened in Syria when Paul's eyes were blinded. It happened on the street called Straight. That was in Damascus, Syria. Lord, we know that there are generations of those who love you there. Lord, we cry out to you for a revival. Lord, would you send your spirit and call and draw and awaken. Awaken and give them hope. Lord, we ask you for miracles here this morning. We pray for a great opportunity that only you can bring. Lord, would you just send a wave of your spirit just to wash over them? Lord, we cry out to you for them right now, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Some of you remember years back, I had a young lady that was working with me at AutoZone. Her name was Stevie, and she did not believe in God. And some of you will remember the story of how she was having a terrible pain in her neck and back and shoulders one day. And I said, come here, Stevie. I said, just stand right here. And I put my hand on her and I prayed for her. Not out loud, just to God and me speaking. And her eyes got really big. And I said, how do you feel? She said, I don't want to know what just happened. And I ran into her. She left, you know, not too long after that, but I ran into her some time later, and she told me that she had started going to church. And I was so excited that she had started going to church. Then I saw her again, a month or so later, and she said she had actually entered into a Bible study. I said, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. Last night, she posted this on Facebook. The deepest level of worship is praising God through the pain, thanking God during the trials, trusting Him when we're tempted to lose hope, and loving him even when he seems distant. At my lowest, God is my hope. At my darkest, God is my light. At my weakest, God is my strength. At my saddest, God is my comforter. Yeah.
Yay, God. Thank you, St. Mark. St. Jeanette.
Thank you. All right, St. Robert. Back there. The Lord has a word for you. He said he has showed you so much, especially in these last days that you've been through, some difficult times that he showed up in. He says, now start believing he's going to show up.
All right. Good word. Amen.
Joel, yesterday I was in Fort Wayne at a conference listening to a speaker named Baxter Kruger, and he shared something. I feel like I'm supposed to share it with you. He said, God never tells you what you're not. He only tells you what you are. So I feel like I need to share that with you and let you know that whenever you hear a voice that tells you something that you're not, just know that that's a lie.
All right, good word. Good word for St. Joel. By the way, that's a word for everybody in the room. That's a good word for everybody. All right, let's stand up. Again, it's not too late to call somebody and say, we do the craziest thing on Sunday night. You will have a good time. And bring some food. And bring a smile. And the saints are going to laugh a lot. Bring a gift, yes. By the way, the gifts. We already have, I don't know what, 7 or 8 wrapped? Yeah. And so there'll be gifts, there'll be extras. If you can bring a couple. You know, I've seen all sorts of crazy, grapefruit in a small box, you know. Just fun stuff, you know. Just, I mean, whatever. Somebody will want it, even if the person who gets it doesn't want it. And it'll just be fun. We'll just have a good time. So I encourage you all, as much as you can, if you can sneak away tonight, 5:30, we're going to eat, we're going to laugh, and we're just going to be part of each other's family. And it's one of the favorite things that we do. This will be like our 27th time doing this. We were trying to remember if we did it in the church before we got here. I think we did. So this is probably like 3 decades of robber bingo. I don't remember how it got started. If anybody remembers our first time doing robber bingo here, tell me, because I can't remember for sure. But it's just a good time to be with the family of God. So, all right. Put your hands out. So, Father, help us take our sainthood seriously. We are already called to be saints. Not an ain't among us. Every one of us, Lord, powerful and usable for your glory and your kingdom. Let our mission and our co-mission working with you be very much in the forefront of all that we say and do this week and right through the end of this year, Lord. And we give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.